is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor Elijah Allen Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming to thy throne of grace, for the privilege of prayer. Thank thee for the mercies thou hast given to us in Christ. And we do look to thee to open our hearts and our minds to thy word this day, to see the work of thy Spirit in our hearts and our lives, knowing without the shadow of a doubt that the work of the Spirit is of a necessity for any soul to be saved. Take thy word home to our hearts, and may Christ be lifted up, for it is in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, the Scripture says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Again, the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. And how good and how gracious and merciful the Lord has been unto us. And for this, dear friend, I give Him thanks. Do you? Do you know the secret of the Christian life? Praise and thanksgiving. Praise unto God for who He is, and thanksgiving for what He's done. That's the secret of the Christian life. Praise and thanksgiving. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're happy that you tuned with us today. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. If you desire a copy of these messages that we deliver in this series on the work of the Holy Spirit and our salvation, you write us and we'd be happy to mail them to you free and postpaid. If you desire the free book that we're giving away this month entitled The Suffering Savior by Krumacher on the Meditations on the Last Days of Christ, 53 chapters that will bless your soul, you write for this book and we'll send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We want to continue our messages today on the theme, the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. In our past messages, we have showed you from God's Word that the Holy Spirit, the third person of our triune God, must work in our hearts the salvation that God gives to poor sinners. And you know why? Because each one of us is totally depraved, dead in trespasses and sins, and we lie buried in the grave of sin. And not only this, but we are held captive by Satan at his will. And therefore, the Holy Spirit must come and work in our hearts to resurrect us by His power, for we have no power, and then we are held captive by Satan. We have showed you also that the work of the Holy Spirit, is, as described in John 16, verses 8 through 11, is to reprove, convict, and convince us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, so that we will know our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been set forth as our justifier, our deliverer, from the power, dominion, and presence of sin. We showed you also that the Holy Spirit must convict us of the awfulness of the sin of unbelief, because it robs God of His glorious attributes and robs Christ of His glory and authority as the eternal Son of God, as the Lord over the living and the dead. Now, in today's message, we would like to go further in our studies and set before your hearts the place the Holy Scriptures give to the work of the Holy Spirit in other phases of the salvation that God gives us to us in Christ. And I do pray that He who has been given to open our eyes, the Spirit of Truth Himself, would this day open all of our hearts to view this truth of the necessity of His work, the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. Now you listen to 1 Corinthians 2, to these plain words. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God. Why? For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Therefore, the Holy Spirit must teach us these spiritual things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and revealing them unto our hearts. Again, the Scriptures declare in 1 Corinthians 12:3 that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. And here, dear friend, we have the greatest proof of the necessity of His work in salvation. For you see, we will not And we cannot call Jesus Lord in a true saving way apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. And why? Because no man will crown Jesus Lord, the Lord of his life, until his will is broken, until he is brought to see and to know his utterly lost condition without the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit alone makes us willing in the day of his power. He gives us that which God requires. And this is what he tells us in the 17th verse of Psalm 51, that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And our hearts are cold, and they're stony, and they're dead. And the Spirit alone must work in them. We would bring to God a sacrifice that he would accept. And that is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Now I want you to listen. In the matter of the new birth, it is imperative that the Holy Spirit work. For the Scriptures declare to us plainly in John 3:3, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When Nicodemus on this occasion asked our Lord how this would be accomplished, he was told that it was by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. We must be born by the water of the Word and by the Holy Spirit. In describing the same thing, we read in 1 Peter 1:23 these words, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Yes, the Holy Spirit in salvation, in the new birth, in regeneration, takes the Word of God, the Word of truth, and plants it in the heart of the sinner whom he will save. And that seed, that Word, is watered and nurtured by the Holy Spirit and springs up into eternal life. Now, I want you to listen to me now. I want you to get the next statements that I make. The new birth is not a decision you make. It is not a feeling you get. Nor is it something that you can produce by any work that you might perform. No, it is the operation of the Spirit of the living God in your heart and affections, and he produces it by using the Word of God, the Word of truth. Our Lord in John 3:8 declared to Nicodemus that the operation of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of men is like the wind. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. You see, dear friend, the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of man is performed in his way and in his time. For he is sovereign. Now, I don't know why or when or where the error crept into so-called evangelical preaching that when a man makes a decision for Christ, that's the new birth. No, my friend. Oh, no. In the new birth, we lie passive. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who plants the seed. When the day comes that a man can plant his own seed in his own mother's womb, then that's the day, I believe, that a sinner can be saved by himself. No. I was born on the 22nd day of August, 1923. To be a normal child, which I was, I had to be conceived sometime in the month of November in 1922. And I had nothing to do with it. I did not plant that seed. It was the union of my father and my mother that I was conceived in my mother's womb. And so it is in the new birth. Let us illustrate it, will you? In Luke 1, we find the story of the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary, the virgin woman who was engaged to Joseph of Nazareth. When Gabriel announced to the Virgin Mary that she was to be the mother of the Messiah, her question was, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The angel Gabriel answered her, saying, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now listen, will you? Mary knew one thing, if she knew anything, and it was that without the male sperm being planted in her womb, she was as helpless to produce a child as she could be. She knew that she could pray and beg and do all manner of penance, deny herself all things, but without the male sperm uniting with her female seed, the thing was impossible. She knew that though she lived to be 100 years old, she could not of herself produce a child. Then she was told that the Holy Spirit would do it. He would come upon her. He would overshadow her. He would place the male sperm in her womb. He would guard over it. And that holy thing which would be born of her would be called the Son of God. As it was in the birth of our Lord in the womb of the Virgin Mary, listen to me now, so it is in the new birth, or the birth of our Lord in our hearts. Christ being formed in us, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, us being made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then according to Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. Or as he tells us in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It must be done by the Holy Spirit. We can beg, we can pray, we can do all manner of works, we can live moral, clean lives, we can go to church, be baptized, take communion, we can preach and teach and give our money and our bodies to the Lord's work and to deny ourselves everything under the sun. We cannot produce the new birth. We cannot plant the seed. We cannot water the seed. We cannot give the seed life. We cannot form Christ in us. No, without the life giver himself doing the work. This is the work of the Spirit of God. No man can do this. So therefore the new birth and conversion are not synonymous. You know why a man repents? You know why a man believes? You know why a man turns from sin and cries after God in repentance? You know why a man hates sin? Cries against sin and desires holiness, which is against his nature. You know why he desires Christ to be his Lord and his Savior and his Deliverer? It's because he has life. And this life, the Holy Spirit put within him in the new birth. A man repents and believes because he's been born again. Because how can a dead man repent? And how can a dead man believe? A man must be quickened by the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? It's not my word. The Scripture set this forth. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I, for one, praise the Lord that he commands, and it's done. Yes, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to brood over the sinner, as he brooded over the earth when it was without form and void, when darkness was upon the face of the deep, and command the light to shine out of darkness. So in the salvation of a sinner, the Holy Spirit commands the light to shine into our souls, convincing us of the darkness, of the sin, of the misery, and deadness we are in. And then he grants us repentance to the acknowledge of the truth, and gives us faith to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is offered in the gospel as the substitute for sinners, God's only sin offering. Yes, praise his name. He grants faith to see in Christ the precious love gift of the Father to his people. Only then can the sinner see by faith that the Lord Jesus meets his every need, and that in his shed blood, there is the forgiveness of sins and the putting away of the wrath of God from Him. In His light, we see light. In His light, we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My friend, I've made it as clear as I could make it. It's the Holy Spirit's business. It's His work to work the new birth in us. And I praise Him for it. All right, let's go further. Again, the Scriptures declare that only by the Holy Spirit can the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts. Listen to Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. We see there is no love of God in us, no love for God that we can produce of ourselves in our hearts and our affections. And you ask why? Because by nature we hate God. Scripture declares in Romans 1:30 that we are by nature haters of God. Therefore, if there is any love in our hearts for God, we can rest assured that it was put there by God, the Holy Spirit Himself. Oh, that you and I would know and understand this great truth more and more, that salvation has to be of the Lord, and that no soul would ever be saved apart from His work in us, because we are totally depraved sinners, void of understanding that would bring us to God. And my dear friend, I ask you a question. Has the Holy Spirit ever worked thus in your heart? If He hasn't, you're lost. If He hasn't, you're on the road to hell, because no sinner can save himself. Listen again. It is plainly declared in both John 6:63 and Ephesians 2:1 that the Holy Spirit alone quickens our dead spirit and makes us alive in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:6 declares that the Holy Spirit alone gives life, spiritual life, and therefore eternal life in Christ. Ephesians 2:18 tells us that by the Holy Spirit alone do we have access unto the Father on the basis of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:26 tells us it is the Holy Spirit Himself who helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Also we read in 1 Corinthians 12:13 that by the Holy Spirit alone are we baptized into the body of Christ, into His church, and made one with Him. Therefore we see from all of these Scriptures that there is no way to be born again, to see the kingdom of God, to get into the kingdom of God, to be partakers of God's divine nature, to be united to Christ and have access to the Father, but by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And my dear friend, I for one am going to ascribe all the work of salvation to my glorious triune God, to the Father for choosing me, to the Son for dying in my place and rising again from the dead, and to the Holy Spirit for applying it to my heart and to my life. Oh, may we bow in adoration before our triune God and give praise unto Him for Himself as manifested unto us in His three persons. Let us adore His wisdom. Give thanks unto Him for His grace. Love Him for His condescension to make Himself known to us in the person of His Son. Let us praise His holy name for His Holy Spirit, who was sent to convince us of sin and to bring us unto Christ. Oh, let us praise Him for seeking us out as lost sinners and saving us by His grace, if indeed He has done this work in our hearts. Now let me speak one more word to you, will you? You who know Christ, how much we should praise the Lord for the gift of His Spirit to us in the salvation He has given to us. We owe all that we have to the Holy Spirit's work in us. Did you know that? He is the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15. He is the one who bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:16. He is the Spirit of Christ, for He is given by Christ and speaks of Christ, according to 1 Peter 1:11. He is the Spirit of life, for He is the communicator of the life of God. He is the sustainer of the spiritual life of God in us, according to Romans 8:2. He is the Spirit of truth in opposition to everything that is false and untrue, according to John 14:17. He is the Spirit of grace, as the bestower of all the graces of the spiritual life, according to Zechariah 12:10. He is the Spirit of power, as opposed to all that is weak and insufficient, according to Acts 1:8. And praise His holy name, He is the Spirit of holiness. Therefore, He alone can sanctify and make us like Christ in holiness, according to Romans 1:4. And my dear friend, the list seems to be endless of the things the Holy Spirit does for us and in us. Did you know that we are sanctified by Him? Moved by Him? Kept by Him? Filled by Him? Did you know that we have joy in Him? He is the one that produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is Christ's likeness in us. Love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, against which there is no law. It is Him, in Him we live and move and have our being. It is in Him that we sing and pray and rejoice. And He goes further than that and tells us that our body is His temple. Oh, what a salvation God has given us, affected by the Holy Spirit within us. Therefore, dear friend, we should not grieve the Spirit, nor quench the Spirit, but be controlled by the Spirit moment by moment, for He is the Father's and the Son's love gifts unto Him. What should we do? We should yield ourselves to Him and be filled with Him, controlled by Him, and praise our living God daily for His presence within us. For He is the Spirit of holiness. He is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of God's dear Son. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of obedience who works in us. Obedience unto the true and the living God. My friend, are you beginning to see that without the work of the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit Himself, that the work of the Father and the work of the Son would be for naught? But it can't go for naught, because the Holy Spirit has a part in our salvation, and that is by wooing us and winning us to Christ, by working in us the new birth. We're happy that you've been with us. We want you to write for a free copy of this message. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.